We thank you for taking the time to listen to this teaching from Metro Church. We hope this inspiring message will empower and enrich your life.
Look, there's nothing like that summer feeling. There's nothing like the excitement of the warm weather and having the freedom. People know what I'm talking about, freedom, get out and go, right? The good weather, the outdoors, the concerts, the beach days. It's an amazing time every time it comes back around. But it's also the devil's playground. Oh, don't act like you don't know. All right? What I'll tell you is, oftentimes people live it up in such a way that they actually leave with regrets. And I believe that God gives us his manual or instruction manual, the Bible, so that we can live with understanding, so that we can live with less regrets. Are you understanding this? And so with the time I have today, I just want to talk to you about how to really create a summer to remember, not one you're trying to forget. All right, so we're getting into the hot topics. I'm going to play off of the summer vibe as we get through this. It'll make it more comfortable for everybody. Okay, so this is going to be much more a principle-based thing where I'm extracting scriptures to help you understand rather than following a storyline like you might be accustomed to in some of the way I teach. But right now, if you're taking notes, the first thing I want you to understand is you need to choose your party based on the people. You need to choose your party based on the people. I'm not saying you can't party. I'm saying you must choose how to party. You must choose who you party with. You must choose what kind of party you think you should be at, not what someone else thinks you should be at. Are you getting this? Someone's like, Pat-a-chat, I'm like 52. I ain't going to parties. No, you still have parties. They just look different these days. And they can be just as detrimental depending on the crew you ride with, the people you hang with. I talk oftentimes that the healthiest people in your life are not the people you've known the longest. Most of the time, the people that we've known the longest actually are just relationships that were part of a convenient intersection of life. You have some of those friends that you've been friends forever, right? You were in diapers together, but that's because your parents were friends. It doesn't mean that they're going to be the most healthy friend because you've known them the longest. It means that that influence in your life has to be taken into consideration, whether it should be so heavily influencing. So when you choose how things are going to go this summer, when you choose the places that you go, you need to start with the people that you have living life with, right? And so the best pool party is the one where the people in the pool are helping you swim, not sink. Right? Everyone likes pool parties. But the reality is, are these people in my life helping me sink or swim? We're talking influences. I thought we'd roll it out slowly, okay? So this is what it says in Proverbs 4. I would really encourage you to go and read this whole thing. If you want wisdom for your life, dig into Proverbs, okay? Proverbs 4 says, "Do not set foot on the path of the wicked or walk in the way of evildoers. Avoid it. Do not travel on it. Turn from it and go on your way, for they cannot rest until they do evil. They are robbed of sleep till they make someone stumble." I'll tell you right now, there are people that are negative influences in your world. And it's okay to love them from a distance. It's okay to be there for them from a distance. Okay? It's absolutely just one of the most dangerous things to ever do is to try and help somebody that is drowning. And unfortunately, this falls really close to home as we remember an amazing man of the police department in Worcester. Amazing man. There's nothing like people that will serve on the front line to serve and protect us. But it was devastating because we got a glimpse of what happens sometimes when you're trying to save somebody that is drowning. I know my father, he used to be a lifeguard back in the day, and he explained that the only way to really help somebody that's drowning, you're supposed to swim up to them, get behind them, go underwater, grab them by their ankles, and pull them underwater. So as they're going under, you're coming up, and you can get them around the shoulder and neck area, and you can pull them from behind. Why? Because somebody that's drowning is looking to climb anything they can to stay above water, including you who's trying to save them. And while you try and save somebody, they can drown you while they drown themselves. So when it comes to the parties that we hang out in, the people that we spend time with, I'm not saying we shouldn't try and help them. I'm saying be very aware that you can't help somebody when you're dead too. You can't spiritually help somebody when you've become spiritually callous. You can't spiritually help someone know Jesus when you're walking away from him to hang out with them. Jesus said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. It doesn't say that you can't leave him and that you can't jump out of the hand. That it says no one can pluck you from my hands. It doesn't mean you can't jump out. Right? So we have to understand relationships and influences are a very, very big deal. Anyone that's lived any amount of time, when you go back through the stories of time and all of the things that you've done, you eventually find some regrets. You eventually find some of those moments where you go, oh, I really wish that hadn't happened. But if you were really honest with yourself, oftentimes it wouldn't have happened if you weren't with that group. If you were really honest, it's not that you made just a bad decision to do that. It was that you constantly made the bad decision to be with them. Because of peer pressure. Because of the desire to be accepted. Because of whatever you want to fill the blank in with. Influence is so important. You must understand it. Proverbs 4 goes on to say this. Give careful thought to the paths for your feet and be steadfast in all your ways. Do not turn to the right or the left. Keep your foot from evil. Who's supposed to keep their foot from it? You're supposed to keep your foot from it. I'm supposed to keep my foot from it. Yet we pray prayers like, God, don't let temptation be before me. God, don't give me anything more I can handle. God's like, why are you walking there? You're supposed to keep your foot from evil by knowing what is right and staying away from what is wrong. I've heard... No one here, of course. No, not this church. But I've heard people leave churches because it wasn't working because they were living lives of sin. Almost as though it was the pastor's responsibility to keep them accountable so that they wouldn't sin. Keep your foot from evil. It's your problem. It's my problem. It's individual. And we have to understand that if we're ever going to stand up and go from being just the milk drinkers spiritually, or the meat eaters spiritually? Are we going to grow up into all God wants us to be? Because that's a personal responsibility. All right? I'm saying it with a smile, but I'm saying it. So these people, are they helping build your faith or your prayer life? God, I'm so sorry again. Are they helping build your faith life or are they giving you content for your prayer life in your I'm sorries? Got to consider these things. Are they building you up or making you build a case before God? Influence. Your relationships. You can love them, but understand that they can drown you. Number two, we need to learn to put those feelings on ice. As we get into the summertime, we need to learn to put those feelings on ice. So, I always say this, look, don't trust your heart, right? I know everyone loves the t-shirts that say, follow your heart. It's like, don't. Don't follow your heart. I know it's very creative and I know it's cute and I know we like the idea of it, but the reality is our heart is a liar. Our heart is driven by emotion and feelings. Jesus said he wouldn't give himself to people because he knew their hearts. Okay? So we need to understand there's some things our heart feels that actually are bad for us. There's some things that we believe that actually are lies. And we've got to make sure that we put certain feelings and thoughts on ice. We can't have that take control. So don't trust your heart. And I especially say, don't trust your heart in the summer. Don't trust your heart in the summer. Don't trust your heart on the weekends, but especially don't trust your heart on the weekends in summer. You see what I did there? They're all true, but if you put them together, you have just maximized, you have just went to the nth power on chances of making up real big problems that you wish you hadn't done. Don't trust your heart, especially not on the weekends, not in the summer, and especially not on the weekends in the summer. So some of the biggest regrets are fueled with living in the moment. All them young people, they're already past it. They're like, that's old. But that whole YOLO thing, right? You only live once. That is like the reason people live with regrets. They're trying to seize the moment, but the moment has seized them, and they'll probably never forget it, and instead they'll live with regret until God can restore all things. Are you getting there? Are you getting me? So don't allow that YOLO moment to rob you of your future. Look it. This is a big deal. I know sex is seen as a no big deal in the world's eyes, but that's not how God sees it. What you have to understand is anything God makes good, the devil tries to pervert, to twist it, to use it against God's children. See, when I don't know about in your house, but in my household, there are specific rules, and it's to guard, it's to safeguard, it's not to live in a bubble, but it's to help my children grow up in a way in which they don't have many regrets, because I understand their brain's not fully developed yet. And that's like not until 25. That's why college is a bad season. Your brain isn't even fully developed, yet you act like you have all the freedom in the world. And you do. You exercise the freedom until you run into a wall. So listen, in a family situation, you've got to protect your kids. And God is trying to protect us. And although the world says that sex is just a simple thing and that actually it's not a big deal, God says that it is a big deal. And in fact, it's one of the most amazing covenants he made to help us understand the relationship he desires with his family. Right? And you go, wait a minute, what does that mean? Let's dig into 1 Corinthians here. It says, since sexual immorality is occurring, which we could say in this day and age too, each man should have sexual relations with his own wife and each woman with her own husband. The husband should fulfill his marital duty to his wife and likewise the wife to her husband. The wife does not have authority over her own body but yields it to her husband. And in the same way, the husband does not have authority over his own body but yields it to his wife. Do not deprive each other. You even know that was in the Bible? Some of you do, some of you don't. Someone's like, they don't like the first half of that my body's no longer my own. No, the Bible says two became one flesh. That means that we're here as one flesh and we're here to make sure that we're pleasing and fulfilling each other so they don't go look for it anywhere else. Okay? The other side of this thing, you know, I know when it gets uncomfortable, here we go, but the men are all like, yeah, it's my wife, my body, my authority. But yet you give your wife a hard time when she wants you to take out the trash. That's her body. That's her muscles. And that's your responsibility if that's your responsibility. I'm not telling you what it is, but the reality is, you know what? There are times I'm like, Julie, I'm going to go mow the lawn because I know you want it fresh and clean. She's like, thank you. And I say, use my body. The reality is we're made differently, okay? But the reason God made us differently is so that we could complement each other, okay? Now, I do not use the grass as leverage against my wife, and she doesn't use sex as leverage against me. And you go, those aren't the same. The point is made. I decided to marry my wife from the Shire. Okay, my wife is kind of wee little. When I walk through my wife's in-laws and our grandparents, I feel like Gandalf. I'm hitting my head on everything. Everything was custom made low and small. And so the fact is she may be asking me to just reach for a can in the top shelf. I say, oh, you little T-Rex arms can't get down. And then she hits me and I deserve it, but we keep it light, okay? And I joke and say, sure, use my body. You get the point. I'm trying to keep this PG-13. I understand. Okay. There's a lot of laughing at church. That's good. So when it comes to sex outside of marriage, the Bible makes it very clear that that's not an option. It's not an option. And in this day and age, the devil will make you rationalize anything to make you feel better about it. You know, I've heard, as a youth and young adult pastor, I've heard it all. I've heard people say, well, you wouldn't buy a car without test driving it. And I said, well, do you really think you should turn that person into an object? No, I think that we have to understand there's a covenant relationship God is looking for, and the world has lied to you long enough that you have believed it. Are you getting this? So, put those feelings on ice. Ready for relationships? We'll keep changing it up a little bit. We'll switch back off to this. Number three, grill food, not people. We've got to learn to grill food, not people. If we're going to party, guess what we don't do? We don't spend the party talking about someone else. That's the lingo for these youngins, grilling people. Okay? We don't grill people, we grill food. So keep those words unsaid. Do you know, this is just a side note, even for married couples, do you know that ultimate honesty actually could hurt your relationship? That even you need to have words that go unsaid. If it's not going to edify the relationship, you can filter that out. Some people think that the most raw love is saying anything and everything always in love. But the reality is that if you say something that is just going to hurt the relationship, just because it's true doesn't make it right. God could say a lot of things that are true about us, but he chooses to hold his tongue. We need to understand that we also have brains, and the brain is bigger than the tongue. We should utilize it more. We need to be careful the things that we say, even within our marital relationship. You can say things and fly off the hinge and say it was true and he needed to hear it or she needed to hear it, but actually it might have set your relation back another 6 to 8 months to rebuild something because you don't know how to hold your tongue. Hot topics. It's called the golden rule. Do you guys ever grow up learning about the golden rule? Do unto others as you would have them or want them to do to you. That happens even in a marital relationship. Matthew 7 puts it this way, so whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them. Not don't do to them what they did to you. What you wish they would do to you is how you should act to them. Right? For this is the law and the prophets. This is the most important thing. This is the way we show love. Right? Are you getting this, church? Proverbs 4 says this, keep your mouth free of perversity. Keep corrupt talk far from your lips. So this summer, why don't you just make an oath, make a vow, make a commitment to your tongue that you won't talk about other people. You won't go negative. You won't begin to roast or grill somebody else. You'll actually just choose to edify in every situation. I grew up in a children's ministry in this church where a specific teacher taught me a little song. We must edify, hey, and not crucify. Oh, come on, children's ministry is what's up. So I'll tell you right now, there are things that are stuck in my mind that I learned in children's ministry. If I'm not edifying my relationship, if I'm not edifying my marriage, if I'm not edifying the situation, then maybe I should just keep it to myself and have God work on me separately, because I don't need them to know everything I'm fighting through. Okay. 1 Thessalonians 5 says this, therefore encourage one another and build one another up. It's not about tearing them down, it's building them up, okay? Number four, we have to apply sunblock for our soul. You have to protect and guard your heart. You've got to guard yourself, especially during the summer season and especially summers on the weekend, right? My son, pay attention to what I say. Turn your ear to my words. Do not let them out of your sight. Keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to one's whole body. Above all else, what? Guard your heart, not follow your heart. Above all else, guard your hearts, for everything you do flows from it. I like those adventure shows. You know, I go old school all the way back to Bear Grylls, but basically people living in this wild situation and they're telling you how to survive, and half the time they explain when they come across a toxic water place and they can't drink specifically from it because it's stagnant and everything that's in it is not good. Well, here's the thing. When we allow our hearts to get toxic, everything in our life becomes not good. We've got to guard our heart. It's the wellspring. We live in the overflow of our hearts. And if the overflow is spewing negativity and toxicity, then it's because we haven't guarded our heart and we've allowed the source to spoil. Yes? And so choose to guard your heart from the dangers of lust and guard your heart from the quick fixes of summer, the quick fixes of your feelings. Remember, a lot of psychologists, they talk about the HALT, H-A-L-T. Don't make important decisions when you're hungry, when you're angry, when you're lonely, or when you're tired. If you would just choose, if you're hangry, if you're angry, if you're lonely, if you're tired, how about you just go home? Your home, your bed. Put down the bottle. Make wise decisions, yes? And so create guardrails with boundaries you have already set. This is half the problem. People make decisions in the moment rather than have made the decision for their life, right? So in the moment, they're deciding whether they're going to sleep with that person or not, other than saying, nope, I'm in a covenant with God until the right one comes. That isn't even a question right now. I'm living to be the person that my future husband or wife will want, not literally pinballing around to figure out life and then show up with what's left of me. Right? Okay. So we've got to choose guardrails and boundaries for our life now when we're not hungry, angry, lonely, or tired. Getting God's word now and understand what his best is for your life. Make the decisions that those other decisions aren't decisions anymore, even in the moment, because you've already made boundaries. Okay? And so already have your yeses and your noes decided before the culture tries to lull you to sleep. Number five, wear shades for your spirits. There's a lot of shady rays out there. You have to wear shades for your spirit. You have to block out those things, right? So Proverbs 4 again says, let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. The summer skin is blinding. And I would like to say it's not just a man thing. In fact, the culture has so twisted with pornography and all that's available, the ability for anyone to be attracted to anything they see. It's not just a male thing, but it certainly is a male thing. You hear me, ladies? It's not just a male thing, but it certainly is a male thing. Okay? And so here, this is what's important. I know you think like this is only for young adults. No, it's not just for young adults. I have been around. I'll tell you right now, everybody needs to hear this. And even if it's not a problem for you, you need to know how to explain it to train up the next generation. Because you're responsible to help those behind you, not say, well, they'll figure it out. Protect your spiritual eyes. I say it like this, ladies. Allow modesty to attract the man of your dreams, not just a daydreamer. Allow modesty to attract the man of your dreams, not just someone who's daydreaming about what you've shown him.
Yeah, that's really
good. Okay, I say it like this. Gentlemen, if it's not for your eyes only, you don't want any. Hot topics, church. Hot topics. Let's go to that Song of Solomon scripture, shall we? Everyone loves when I go there. Young women of Jerusalem, I charge you, do not stir up or awaken love until the appropriate time. Until the appropriate time. That means there is an appropriate time and that there isn't an appropriate time. And to decipher when is appropriate would be to understand the covenant of marriage. To understand what is not appropriate is to understand when you're not in the covenant of marriage. Okay? Let me also help you understand this, ladies. You've got the keys to the Beamer. What does that mean? Let your no be no. Are you hearing me?
Yeah.
The best way to let that no really be no is by living a modest life that doesn't attract bottom feeders.
modest. Understand you have control. And if a man isn't interested in your no, you ain't interested in him no more. Did you get that? Okay. Hot topics. Matthew 5. But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lustful intent has already committed adultery with her in his heart. What am I saying? Fellas, don't look at what's readily available. And if it is readily available, run. Pull the Joseph, even if you got to run out of the house naked. Run. See, some people assume that because we live in a New Testament, grace so covers everything that it allows the level at which we live to be lowered because grace has covered it. Because grace exists now, I can kind of live how I want and say sorry later. What's interesting is Jesus, because he brought grace, he actually brought the standard up. Why? Because all the boats rise when the tide goes up. Right? So Jesus, he goes, yes, I am grace, and yes, I can forgive. But it's no longer about whether you're actually doing it. It's about whether you're even thinking about doing it. Summer can be blinding. Be aware of what God expects for all of us. Yes? I say this. This was more for the young adults, but I'll still say it. One look is noticing. A second look is lust. One really long look, that's just creepy. Okay. What am I saying? Guard your eyes. Guard your eyes. Matthew 6 says this, the eye is the lamp of the body. And then if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is diseased, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? See, what you allow through the windows of your eyes becomes the thing that your mind chews on, and it becomes the thing that your heart digests. So if I'm allowing myself to look at pornography, guess what? It's actually rottening me to the core, and I better shut those eyes and not allow my windows into my soul to be opened and look at that thing. Are you getting this? You can come back and just kind of roll with me because I ain't done. So listen, Job says this, I made a covenant with my eyes. How then could I entertain thoughts against a virgin? I made covenant with my eyes. What does that mean? God, my eyes are for my future wife only. My eyes are for my wife only. My eyes are for my husband only. My eyes are for the things of God only. I'm not going to allow the windows to my soul to be opened and look upon something that is going to rot my brain and eventually affect my heart, which everything flows from. Hot topics, church. If you're ready to have sex, you're ready to be married. If you're not ready to be married, then you're not ready to have sex. That's how God sees it. Why? Because the ultimate pleasure should only come on the back of the ultimate sacrifice. The ultimate pleasure should only come on the back of the ultimate covenant forever until death do us part. Are you getting anything out of this, church? What am I saying? God sees it as an all or nothing thing. If there's a big takeaway, especially this generation needs to hear, is sex is a spiritual covenant, not a physical arrangement. It's a spiritual covenant. 1 Corinthians 7 says this, it's better to marry than to burn with lust. What am I saying? You have to consider the lifestyle that you're living and whether it's something. There are people that want me to pray for them and help, you know, hey, pray for this. And I'm looking for God's favor and blessing on that. And I'm sitting here thinking, but you're living so far outside of God's blessing. How do you think he's going to bless you? I'm really believing for this job, even though I'm living with my girlfriend. I just need God's favor, but I need him to overlook all the things that I'm not willing to change because I don't want to do that. I want my cake and eat it too. I want God's hand over my life, but I'm not willing to change my life to get in his hands. I want God's hand over my life, but I'm not willing to change my life to get in his hands. You have the power to keep your foot from evil. It's your responsibility. And I can just tell you this, by the way, you'll never have enough money to get married. If you have the right one, you just got to step out in faith. And if you're here and you're not married, but you want to be married and you're struggling with the in-between stage, there's a great book out there by Ed Young, and it's called Rating Your Dating While Waiting for Mating. We can get that set up in the bookstore, okay? You're welcome. I'm running out of time, but I'm not done with my message. Ready for this? Number 6, don't allow your summer to become someone's fall. Don't allow your summer to become someone's fall. We're talking about influence now. Don't allow your freedom to become someone's downfall. 1 Corinthians 10 says, all things are permitted, but not all things are of benefits. All things are permitted, but not all things build people up. What does that mean? Yes, it's permissible to do this. Maybe it's permissible for you to have a drink of wine, but maybe it's not profitable based on your family line and the struggles that your family deals with and the fact that you know that alcoholism is a very big thing. And maybe you should veer away from it. Just because you're permitted doesn't mean it's profitable. Go down the list of all the other things you could fill in the blank. Just because you have the ability to do it doesn't mean it's the best decision to do. Okay? Just because you are married and can have sex doesn't mean the joke should be said in the presence of those who can't. Why put topics in minds that can't entertain those things? It's hard enough to live for Christ without other people's freedoms messing with your head. Just be aware of the crowd. Don't be someone's downfall or stumbling block. As it says in Romans 14, make up your mind not to put any stumbling block or obstacle in the way of a brother or sister. What does that mean? My freedom shouldn't come at the cost of someone else. I need to be aware of my surroundings and make sure that I'm not putting a stumbling block before my brother or sister just because it doesn't bother me. See, there's certain areas in the New Testament where it's not necessarily black or white. If it's not black and white and it's very clear biblically exactly where we have to stand, then what it means is that we go back to our own moral compass. The Bible talks about it. The Apostle Paul says, don't sin to your own conviction. What does that mean? Somebody may have a conviction about something that's deep-rooted, and if they were to do it, it would be a sin, but it's not in the Bible, so they can't project that as a sin on someone else. But that other person shouldn't live in a life that could be making it a stumbling block for the one who feels it's sin. Some people are called to live that Nazarene lifestyle like Samson, where they don't cut their hair, they don't drink wine, they don't do any of that stuff. That's fine. That's their conviction, but they can't project that onto someone else. Otherwise, it becomes legalism that can literally drag someone down. Are you getting this, church? And now I have to end. So number 7, the last one you get. Always keep wisdom on the invite list. This summer, always choose to keep wisdom on the invite list. Do not forsake wisdom, and she will protect you. Love her, and she will watch over you. The beginning of wisdom is this: get wisdom. Though it cost all you have, get understanding. Cherish her, and she will exalt you. Embrace her, and she will honor you. She will give you a garland and to grace your head and present you with a glorious crown. If you go back to Julius Caesar's time, you go back to the old times, if you were a winner of anything, whether it a marathon, guess what they brought? Garland. Guess what they brought? A crown. Basically, if you want to win, get wisdom. Yeah. If you want to win in life, don't push wisdom off the invite list. Always allow it to be a part of what you do, where you go, what you don't do. And if you focus on these things, I believe you're going to have a summer to remember, not one you're trying to forget.
We hope you've enjoyed this teaching from Metro Church.